Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Our second reading this morning is from John 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
In our journey through the Sundays of Lent, we're looking at encounters with Jesus and how it impacted those who came to him. And today we're going to explore the interaction with Nicodemus, a man who was likely better dressed than either Jesus or his companions arrives at night. He is probably known to them by sight, and they might have wondered, and Jesus may have wondered, what is Nicodemus doing up at this hour? Well, I think Nicodemus couldn't decide, as a good Pharisee and, you know, seeking to be faithful to God, he just couldn't decide what to do with Jesus. It was making his mind race, I'm sure, when he lay down to sleep and, you know, thinking, "Oh, I heard he turned water into wine. They're saying he's the Messiah, the Son sent from God. I wonder if they're right. Because how can he make wine out of water if he is not sent from God? But if he is sent from God, why hasn't he studied with our rabbis? If he is sent from God, why is he at times critical of our faith practices?" So he comes by night, and know that in John's gospel, John uses a lot of symbolism of light and dark. And night is in part a symbol for the life when one hasn't fully accepted the light of Christ. So here's Nicodemus late at night, knock, knock, knocking on Jesus' door. Jesus opens the door, and Nicodemus comes into the light, out of the darkness, at least temporarily. Jesus looks at him expectantly. Nicodemus falls into the trap that we often do if we meet somebody even mildly famous, we start babbling about how great we think they are or what we've heard about them. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, for no one can do the signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Well, Jesus tells him that in order to enter the kingdom of God, he must be born from above, which is sometimes translated as born again. And Jesus is speaking spiritually, but Nicodemus takes it literally and protests that a person cannot enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born, and I'm sure that no mother in the world would want that. He himself can't be born again physically any more than I can, but a person can be reborn spiritually, or as Jesus puts it, reborn from above. Spiritually, Nicodemus has been born once into the traditions of the Jewish faith, the traditions of the Pharisees as teachers of the law of Moses. He's been born into their concerns for holiness and ritual purity, of their interpretation of the religious tradition and what God expects of faithful people. New birth then spiritually for Nicodemus would be a breaking free from that kind of restricted, judgmental life into abundant life, which Jesus has promised. And like physical birth, it involves leaving behind the past and breaking out into the present. Spiritual new birth, while set in motion by God's grace, does take labor on our parts. It is by the power of God that we can begin anew. And today's readings are studies of exemplars of our faith who have begun again by the power of God. In Genesis, Father Abraham is feeling a bit hopeless at the time of God speaking to him, as we read, because at age 75, he and his wife Sarah have had no children. He has no heir. And then God intervenes and addresses Abraham and Sarah. God commands them to go in obedience to the land that he would show them. And he says, and you will have a child and you will become a great nation. God, in effect, promises a radical and durable newness if they go. And they go. They receive a new land, and eventually they receive a son who is their heir and will be the parent of those who will become leaders of the tribes of Israel. Abraham and Sarah had a new future opened up for them, and their story is all about the power of God's promise to bring newness of life. And the point is clear. The God who loves the world is the God who gives new life to those faithful in it, to those with whom he finds favor. Both of our texts this morning mean going where a person has not been before, if not physically, as with Abraham, at least spiritually, as it was with both Abraham and Nicodemus. It means going into God's new life and trusting that God's spirit wind, as Jesus puts it, blows freely where it will. It is the wind of love, the offer of new life that is inexplicable and is beyond our control. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night to reassure Jesus that he recognizes in Jesus the gifts of God's presence because of all the visible signs performed by Jesus in the light of day. And Jesus takes the man and instead of directly answering his questions right away, plunges him deeper into the mystery of God's workings. Nicodemus has spent his whole life studying the law, studying the prophets, studying the scriptures, and he doesn't get what Jesus is saying at first. Nicodemus is too committed to what he has known up until this point. This talk of being born of the Spirit and of participating in God's life through eternity, these are new concepts, and so he cries out, "How can these things be?" And somewhat, I believe, in sorrow, Jesus says, "You are a teacher, and you do not understand these things?" To paraphrase, I think it would be fair to say, "Oh, Nicodemus, if you don't believe me, the one who has come from the Father, whom are you going to believe? God loves you. God loves all these friends around me. Yes, God loves even the whole world, or the cosmos, as it is in the original Greek of the gospel." God sent me to testify to this love, and all you have to do is trust in me and in this love, and you can be saved from despair. Now, there's much talk about spirituality in our culture, at least by those who study churches and people's faith practices. And a lot of people say, "I am a spiritual person." And increasingly, we hear some of those people say, "And I don't need to go to church to be connected to the Spirit." Others say, "I'm a spiritual person," but don't quite believe in what the church teaches about Jesus as the Son of God. There are many other variations of the same thing. "I'm a spiritual person." Yeah, and we've heard this one for years. "I can worship God just as well on the golf course as I can in church on Sunday mornings." Vague spirituality. And yet here is Jesus offering us someone visible and recognizable in his person who embodies the Spirit of God himself. And unless we take the plunge into the mystery of the incarnation, we, like Nicodemus, will be those who don't fully understand and ask, "How can these things be?" And Nick is afraid that being born from above may mean losing control. And he liked control. He liked knowing who was righteous and who was a sinner, what to eat, what not to eat, with whom to associate, and whom to label unclean. And to him, Jesus' comparison of being born from above with the action of the wind blowing where it will was probably a frightening concept. Because the wind can be unpredictable. It wafts away items to which we have become attached and, you know, blows in other things that we would not necessarily have found or seen otherwise. And if we start letting the wind of the Spirit blow through our souls, through our lives, through our church, through our families, who knows what might be blown out and what might be blown into our hearts? Resentments, prejudices, biases we have cherished for decades might blow out the window. One of us may sit in church next week and sense some of the sorrow in our lives or the lives of others wafting out the back of the sanctuary as God's Spirit blows through us together. And in its place, we feel a fragrant breeze bearing hope. So next week, when we come to church in person or online, Some people we don't recognize may be sitting here, sometimes in the back pew, looking in, waiting for an invitation to come in to the arena of light and warmth that is the love of Jesus Christ. And we may feel our feet and our hearts moving in their direction to say, glad you're here. Because anything can happen when it comes to the wind of the Spirit. A fog might lift from a church that worries that their best days are behind them. A whole church could feel the brisk, energizing breeze of hope and purpose stronger than anxiety. And if we say yes to the question, do you want to be born from above? The belief in Christ that we recite with our lips could well become the Spirit moving within our hearts, the blood running through our veins, and a sign of a contagious love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.